Hi, Ken, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, calling today from a very cold and very, very wet Vancouver fall morning. I'm happily in my office, though, and have a chance to speak with Amy Blake, who is a third-year medical student at Eastern Virginia Medical School and is actually doing me the honor of taking time out of her last week of maternity leave before going back to medical school. So we are doubly or triply fortunate, perhaps, that you were able to make the time, Amy.
Oh, you're very kind. I'm very pleased to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to the conversation. As you know, we're going to talk about the paper that you have coming out in the November issue of Medical Education called Game Theory and Strategy in Medical Training. Just before I get to that, I should maybe alert our listeners to the fact that this is one of the papers in our Cross-Cutting Edge series, which is a series of papers aimed at making theory and data from areas that are typically represented outside of medical education accessible to medical educators so that we might think better about some of the problems that we are grappling with as a field. Amy, to get into the paper specifically, I feel like I probably need to get you to explain a little bit about what game theory is, given that those who haven't heard of it before probably assume that we're talking about using things like crossword puzzles or video games to teach people medicine. I know it's more impressive and complicated than that, so maybe I can ask you just to explain in your words, what is game theory?
Yeah, absolutely. So game theory is a conceptual framework that was originally developed for economics. Basically, it's used to explain behavior in strategic situations, specifically looking at decision making between two parties. So the point is to kind of model how two people in any situation where they're negotiating for some sort of outcome approach that situation, the considerations that they are taking into account when they're thinking about each side, and trying to figure out basically where the negotiation is going to end based on those considerations. So it's a really interesting way of looking at how you might get a specific outcome out of a certain type of negotiation.
Well, and so when you talk about decision-making between two parties or those sorts of negotiation forces in economics or at least the business aspect of those things, you can easily imagine people negotiating to try to get the best they can in terms of a deal commercially. What sorts of situations in medicine were you envisioning when you started to contemplate how relevant game theory might be to medical education?
So I was originally thinking about the doctor-patient relationship when I was thinking about the concept of game theory, because really that relationship is a negotiation in many ways. But then, you know, taking it a few steps backwards, before you get to that relationship, you have to have your training. And your training is in many ways a negotiation as well between, you know, the students and the professors, and then later between residents and attendings, as far as responsibilities, as far as what each party wants out of the arrangement, while you're still supposed to be working towards the common goal of the greater good and providing, you know, excellent patient care, getting a strong foundation in your education. So kind of looking at those things, I kind of wanted to start there with game theory before moving on to other aspects of how it could be applied to medicine. So that's kind of where we got started with this paper. And I think it turned out really, really interesting.
In that word negotiation that you've used a couple times now, for some people it implies that there are two parties who are competing with one another and trying to, again, get as much as they can out of the other person, hopefully in a way that is a win for both of them in ideal worlds. But in those situations that you were just describing, I'm inferring that you mean negotiation in a broader sense. What sorts of things might people be negotiating for in those environments?
So I think the way you described it initially there is probably a better way of looking at it, in the sense that, you know, each person is trying to get the most out of the interaction. And game theory gives you a way to try to figure out, when each party is looking to get the best possible outcome for themselves, how you can also reach an outcome maybe where those individuals don't reach the maximum benefit that they could get individually, but the mutual benefit is much greater. So while it's still, you know, it is a competition in some ways, but game theory can be used to help figure out how you can get more of a mutual benefit out of these interactions. So I like the way you describe negotiation or the scenario. And I think that's a good way to look at it, is that each person is trying to get the most out of the interaction. But in a situation where you want more mutual benefit, game theory is a good way to look at how you can get there.
Right. And that's helpful. I know there are a number of different games, so to speak, that have been used to develop these models and thinking about the whole economic aspects of these interactions. Do you have a particular favorite that would be a good example for our listeners to try to better understand the sorts of things we're talking about?
Sure, absolutely. So the Prisoner's Dilemma is the quintessential example of a game theory model that can be applied to a variety of scenarios. And it comes from the initial setup of the scenario in which two people are arrested and they're separated and placed in different jail cells and they're interrogated separately. They have no way to communicate with each other. And they're each given the same terms. So let's say we have our one guy is named Bob and the other guy is named Adam. So if Bob confesses and Adam doesn't, then Bob will serve 1 year in prison and Adam will serve 10 years and vice versa. If they both confess, they'll each serve, let's say, 5 years in prison. And if neither confesses, then they'll each serve only 2 years. So here's an example where if both choose not to confess, they get the most mutual benefit out of the scenario because they both end up with only 2 years. But because each of them has the opportunity to serve only 1 year if they confess and the other doesn't, there's a very strong incentive for each to confess to try to get that 2 years down to that 1 year. But in the process, they usually both end up confessing and serving 5 years in prison. So they both end up worse off by trying to advance their interest as far as possible. So that's the quintessential way that game theory shows how in pursuing that individual benefit to the max, you can end up in a place where you're worse off than you would have been if you had been looking at what would be most mutually beneficial or the greater good, so to speak.
And I know this has been studied extensively with a variety of different conditions manipulated, but again, thinking about the translation to medicine, it's fortunate, to put it lightly, that there are relatively few cases where physicians or students actually have to worry about jail time. But obviously, you're using this to represent something bigger. How do you make that translation, and what sorts of things would you imagine would be comparable to that dilemma in the medical education world?
Right. So the translation, I think, would be you're looking at payoff in general, whereas it's jail time in the prisoner's dilemma example. In something like, for example, study habits, which is one of the examples we use in the paper, your payoff could be a better grade or, you know, a better outcome in whatever assignment you're working on. Or for a resident, it could be better patient outcomes in general. So there's ways that you can kind of translate that, looking at what the preferred outcome or benefit is for each of the parties in a specific situation.
That's great. Then if we continue with that example of studying more to get a better grade, that doesn't necessarily impact upon someone else as much as it just gets you to a position where you get a greater payoff. Where does the dilemma come in that sort of interaction?
So the scenario we looked at was students who are graded on a curve. And in that case, your outcome is directly related to those of your fellow students because it's all relative, right? So if you do slightly better than your classmates, then you're going to end up in a better position on that curve. And that sort of situation really engenders a lot of competition. And it, I think, incentivizes students not to cooperate, which is, in theory, what you would like students to be doing, especially when they're heading into a field that's so reliant on teamwork for success, as the medical field really is these days. So when you're looking at these students who are being graded on a curve, there's this incentive to really spend just that little bit of extra time studying to get that edge up over their classmates so that they can, you know, then get a good residency and then get a good job. That whole linear progression of if I can just do a little bit better, then I can get a leg up over my classmates and really get where I want to be going. And it also is kind of a self-reinforcing problem. So what game theory can help us do, or the prisoner's dilemma can help us do, is pull out those incentives and see why you end up with so much competition in school, which then kind of affects things later on in the training and then potentially into practice as well, engendering this environment of competition. It also then can help you look at ways to be get to that point where students are looking more at that greater good, maybe doing a little bit more cooperation and ending up with more mutual benefit as opposed to doggedly pursuing that individual benefit and maybe not getting as much out of it as they could otherwise.
And so do you see the main advantage, or at least potential advantage, of incorporating game theory into our education models being ways to help the faculty understand the pressures on students, or do you think we should actually be teaching students about these principles and trying to help them embed the models in their own decision making? What do you see as the payoff of this work that you've conducted?
So I would say both. I think educating the faculty about it helps them then create situations where maybe competition isn't incentivized quite so heavily. So for example, there was actually a really good article in the New York Times a few days ago that was entitled Why We Should Stop Grading Students on a Curve. And it was a professor who was grappling with these same issues with hyper-competitive students and the outcomes not being as great as he would have liked. And he came up with some interesting creative ideas on how to reward cooperative behavior in his students. So for example, on his exams, he allowed his students to pick one question that they were the most uncertain about and write down another student's name in the class who they thought would get the correct answer. And if that student got the correct answer, then both students would get the points for that question. And so even that little adjustment there that kind of encouraged the students to get to know each other a little bit better and maybe study together ended up increasing the averages in the class, which is, you know, a really small thing, but it ended up making a big difference. And he said he noticed a huge difference in the way his students interacted with each other. They started doing study groups together and really trying to work together more. Really interesting how such a small change can make such a big difference in the environment. And I think that has far-reaching impact as well, because if you find ways to engender that cooperative environment early on, I'd like to think at least that it helps carry on into the future. But also educating students about it and making them aware of it, I think, can help them understand maybe where the other side is coming from and why the environment looks the way it does, and maybe find ways for them to look at the payoffs a little bit differently. So maybe that 100% grade is not the thing that they should be focused on the most. Maybe there are other intangible benefits from cooperation or from focusing some of their time on other things that might end up being more important than that grade in the long run. So I think both of those things can really help both sides make small changes that can end up making a big difference.
And that's a really nice way of thinking about it, in my impression, because the examples you've just given really do reinforce that we don't necessarily want to take game theory and make it part of the curriculum, because the curriculum itself is a zero-sum game, but rather starting to build in some of these concepts and thinking about them might give us some broader way of thinking about the principles that we're trying to establish, and seem very likely they could have a fairly big payoff and avoid some of the unintended consequences of things like competition that might be beneficial in some circumstances and might be pushed too far in others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do think it's the application of that principle that's really the most important application for medicine and for medical education.
Yeah, that's a perfect note to end on. As is the norm with these podcasts, we've only just scratched the surface of your paper. I realize there are actually four different types of games provided, each with examples of how they translate to medical education. But I think we're going to have to leave that to our readership to explore. And I'm sure they'll join me in thanking you, Amy, for putting in this effort and giving us a different way of thinking about some very common and difficult issues.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to get this paper out there. I think it's really interesting, and I hope other people find it interesting as well and would love to hear feedback if anyone has it.
I'm sure they will. I can find your email address in the paper itself. If you are looking to contact Amy Blake, who I've just been speaking with, she's the first author on a paper called Game Theory and Strategy in Medical Training that you'll find in the November 2016 issue of Medical Education. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back soon. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.